what we believe, our belief system. We're called believers. So if he can get twist what you believe, you're his puppet. He can make you reproduce what he wants you to. What you believe is everything. How you see yourself. How you see yourself is everything. Because if you don't see yourself clear, you're not going to live clear. I'm going to turn to Genesis 3. I'm not going to be there real, real long. I'm going to be a little bit of everywhere. But I'm just going to start off with this verse. This is the serpent talking in the Garden of Eden. He said, for God knows, this is 3 verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, talking about the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, the attacks of the enemy is the same. It never changes. From day one in the garden, it's the same lie. Right here he says, how did he trick Eve? He said, you will be like God. Back up for a few verses. God already said, I made man in my image. He already said, you're like me. If the enemy can twist what we believe into seeing us less than what God sees us, we'll sin. We'll fall short. See, that's what he did here. He said that if you eat this tree, you'll be like God. So Eve ate the tree from a place of lack. She ate of the fruit because she thought she wasn't what God said she was. If she believed who God said she was, she'd be like, God said I'm made in his image. I'm already made in his image. Why would I do that? See, Eve tried to get him, the enemy got her to eat the tree out of a place of not believing what God said about her. And it's the same attack. The attack is on your identity. And every belief system that the enemy brings, every attack that he tries to come at you with, will be at your identity and what God says about you. Everything. Everything he does will be like, you're less than, you're not this, you're not that. Or he'll even use God's word, what God says you are, twist it, and make you feel like you're less than that. And then you get in a place of trying to be that. When God's already looking at, why are you trying? You're already that. I already said you're that. Why are you trying to be that? You're already that. This is powerful, guys. If we can change the way we see our perspective and see yourself in alignment with what God says about us, we'll live. We'll live completely transformed. Jesus said, the Bible says we need to renew our mind. We need to renew the way we think, the way we see. Philippians 2, have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in him. Have the mind of Christ. Does that not blow your mind that the mind of Christ is available to you to think? This is a powerful word right here. We get saved by believing in Jesus. We get free by believing like Jesus. We get saved. I'm talking to somebody. We get saved by believing in Jesus, but we get free by believing like him. When our thoughts and his thoughts are one, that's when freedom comes. See, there's a lot of Christians that saved but not free because of the way you think. A lot of Christians are love the Lord, love God, are going to heaven, but are not free. Break every chain. God, break every chain. You know, I love when we are a people, the Bible talks about asking for prayer and let the elders of the church lay hands on you and minister to you, and God can touch you through that. And I love when he does that. I love when I see Holy Spirit touch somebody, and it's like you just see a weight lifted off of them. I love that. But John 8:32, we become so seeking in need of ministerings and feelings to feel better. But John 8 says, the truth shall set you free. You want to be free? You know, we need to ask for prayer. I'm not saying that. But if you get in this word and you let it train your mind so you can think like Jesus, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. With every truth embraced, a lie is destroyed. With every truth that you embrace about yourself, a lie is just destroyed. We don't try to get rid of these lies. We believe truth and the lies are washed out. It's that simple. And true freedom comes seeing yourself the way God sees you. And I'm going to lock that into us today. I believe we're going to leave here. See, I can teach it all day long, but teaching is amazing. We need to sit under teachers. We need to sit under leaders and learn. But you have to take what you're taught to alone with God. Just hearing it one time won't transform you. You'll feel it for a moment, but you have to get alone with God and say, God, let this truth be living through my life. Let what was spoken today be made in me. Don't just hear and say, wow, that's a good word. Say, I want that. I want this to be in me. I don't want to just know it. I want to become it. Every tactic, every scheme, every wile the enemy can think of is to get you separated from God. He wants to separate you from God. When God said in the garden, if you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Separation. No, he didn't die right when he ate the fruit. Eve didn't die. She didn't croak over right there. She didn't. What was death? Separation from God. That is death. So the enemy will try to get you to believe lies about yourself that will separate you from intimacy with the Father. If you believe you're no good, you're not going to come to the Father in the secret place to a good God. If you believe you're worthless, you're not going to feel worthy to come before Him and spend time with Him. It's to separate you from the Father. You may be saved, but He can still separate you from Him. The enemy can still try to create a veil between you and God by what you believe. This is so powerful. I mean, the Bible says to take every thought captive. Every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Not every bad thought. Every thought. Every thought. It doesn't say just take every bad thought. Every thought. Every thought that crosses your mind, you're supposed to take it captive. But you have to know this word to be able to take it captive. Is that what God says about me? No, God says I'm this. God says I'm that. Take every thought captive. Why every thought? Because sometimes thoughts seem good and they're not. Sometimes they seem right, but they lead to death. Sometimes them thoughts will, for a moment, they can try to convince you, but they lead to death. Take every thought captive. In the garden, the serpent wanted Adam and Eve to be separated from the Father. That's his goal, is to separate you from God. Because if he can separate you from God, then you're an ineffective Christian. And then he'll get you in a place of works and trying to do your best because you're trying to get to this place that you want to be when God's already saying that you're that. The works, the good deeds flow. And this has always been one of the biggest attacks on my own self. It's the way we're trained in this world. What you do is what you are. That's not the truth. What you do is not what you are. What he done is who you are. What he done. See, you're in Christ Jesus. You're hidden with Christ. So when the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see a sinner. He doesn't see messed up Jeremy. He sees Jesus. I'm hidden in him. So when I see myself, I should see myself in Jesus. Anything apart from that is a lie, and you don't think it will harm you, but it will. It will get you working and towing. That's why you see so many ministers, so many leaders in the church get wore out because they're gaining their identity from what they're doing instead of who they are. And when you realize who you are, the works will flow from that place. Here's an example. If I tell a man he's a sinner and tell him to live righteous, he'll believe he's a sinner trying to do right, but he'll actually sin by faith. Because he believes he's a sinner, he'll try to do right, but what he believes, so a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. So if I believe I'm a sinner trying to do right, I'm actually going to sin by faith because I believe that's who I am. But if I believe I'm righteous through the blood of Jesus, if I'm holy, without blame, above reproach, I'm actually going to produce fruit of righteousness because I believe it's who I am. And if I sin, then I will repent. If. But you tell a man he's righteous through the blood of Jesus, sin will not follow. But you tell a man he's a sinner trying to be good, trying to do right, he will always sin by faith because he believes it's who he is. And who you think you are will be the fruit on your tree. Who you believe you are will be the fruit that's on your tree. That's what will be there. If you believe you're no good, you'll probably reproduce ugly, ugly, rotten fruit. If you believe you're full of anger, if you believe you got a quick temper, you'll always have a quick temper. If you believe that you can't be free from lust, you will always lust after women or men. Listen, even if you make the mistake, you run to Jesus and say, "That's not who I am no more." You train your mind to believe what he says about you. And then you will produce the fruit of what he says, and it'll become living through your life. In the world, we believe it. We see it backwards. You do to become. You do to get. But God says, you are, and then you'll become it. So we have to realize that we are that before we're even seeing it flowing through our life. Believing is everything. Because I'm one like, man, I want to do so much for God. Like, I just love you, Lord. And that's most of the church. We just want to do so much for you, God. We just want to do so much. And then I get in a place of where I'm gaining my identity from that place. And I'm working and working and working and striving because I want to measure up to what God, to be a good servant. When God's already saying, through the blood of Jesus, you're that. And when you believe that about yourself, you'll manifest it. You'll reproduce it. Get this, guys. This truth will just completely change your life. It will transform the way you live. We have to have strongholds of truth. Strongholds, when lies come, they don't have no chance because we're so convinced and so possessed with this truth that there's nothing can tell us otherwise. It's so rooted and grounded in us that nothing else can tell us otherwise. You're depressed. No, I thank you, Father, I'm not. You didn't give me a spirit of depression. You didn't give me that. It's not who I am, but you feel depressed, the devil will say. Well, you feel down. Feelings lie. It's ministers. It's ministering spirits. Come on, guys. Let's get this truth. It will change your life. You're not identified what other people think about you either. Because people will judge you and perceive wrongly of you. They will look at you wrong. They will see you wrong. They will look for wrong in you just because they're not good in themselves. They will look to try to find wrong and negatives. And if you believe that, then it's going to steal from your identity. Every time you embrace a truth, you destroy a lie. Every time you see something in this word that is true, you destroy a lie that the enemy is trying to speak over you. Y'all following me? Y'all here? Sometimes I feel like some people are just like looking at me. You see a lot of faces of preacher, don't you? Like, I don't know about this guy. He's this crazy Jesus guy that preaches. I don't know about him. I just need some kind of like just some amens or something. I got ADD. No, I don't. If we try, it's hard to consistently do what we don't believe we are. We can't do what we don't believe we are. You will always come up short, get weary, discouraged, aggravated with the things that are going around you. It's constant. It's constant. We have to tell ourselves that we're more important, that we're more than what we do. Listen, if I'm coming to disciple someone, if I want to disciple someone in Christ, gold mine. They don't. When miners mine gold, they don't talk about all the dirt they removed. They talk about the gold that they find. Why do we talk about the dirt if we point out the gold of who we are in Christ? Then that dirt will just... And when we disciple others, if I highlight the gold in someone, if I tell him he's who he is and his purpose and destiny and not all the dirt, then he's going to believe that and you're actually going to see someone following after Christ. But if I tell him you're all the dirt, this is you, this all these wrong things, he's going to believe that and then he's going to try not to do it and live and works and strive for the rest of his life and maybe even backslide because this gospel is too hard to live. The gospel is not, shouldn't be hard. It isn't hard. The powers, why do we give the flesh so much glory? Like the Spirit of God is stronger than the flesh. We make the flesh so big. Like I'm just bound to flesh, but you're living, the Spirit of God indwells in you. You're a habitation of His presence. It's so much bigger than the flesh. And your ability to sin, He's so much bigger that to make you righteous. And it's not, it's so easy. It's not even on our ability. Like, I'm not standing up here preaching and a pastor and doing these things for God on my ability. I've just learned how to say yes. That's what it is. You can do it too. You just learn to say yes. It's surrender. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Make me that. No man is self-made. Nobody. You can't make yourself be. Oh, man, you can't. You'll fail. It's law. It's law. You'll come up short every time. No man is self-made. But you yield and you just say, Lord, make me. I yield. I am the clay. You're the potter. And you know what? The clay doesn't try to bend itself. It just yields. It just spins around and just yields to the master. It's just yielding to the Father. Yielding to His hand. Not saying, I need to be better. I'm going to try my best. You will fail. It's yielding. Let Him form you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's not in your ability or your strength. It's His. He says He gives grace to the humble. You know what humility is? Being able to receive. Realizing that I can't do it. That's good. That's good. He gives grace. Grace, the empowerment of God that enables you to walk out what He calls you to. That is grace. The empowering force of God that transforms you so you can walk out what that word tells you to do. So if I'm humble and say, God, I can't with all my strength. I can't do this. I need you. I yield. Yes, Lord. I give grace to the humble, He says. So my grace will come and make you because you know that you need me. In my weaknesses, He's strong. You have to realize you're completely weak without Him. And then you'll be made strong in Him. Once you realize you're low, you're weak, see humility. Got to go low. Come low, serve. Here I am, God. There you are. Come low. There's this movement, and I'm just going to say there's a women's right movement that says we need our voice. And you know, I'm all about women's rights. Women are daughters. Women are daughters. They are amazing creations made in God's image. But all I know is to go low. I'm not trying to rise up against nobody. I'm going low, serving. We're not trying to rise up, and we'll rise up against the devil, but we're not rising up against man. I'm going low. Humility knows one direction, and it's low. Jesus, come. Philippians 2. I've camped in that scripture days. I've went weeks without moving from that scripture in Philippians 2. The mind of Christ. He came. He was equals with God. He considered himself no one. Come as a man. Almighty God, come low as a man. Consider others more highly than yourself. Esteem others. Don't just look out for your interests, but look out for others. You go low. And He gives grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. If you think you can do it on your own, if you're strong, or if you're trying to do it on your own, you're not doing it consciously, but if you try to work this out on your own strength, He can't. You're actually blocking Him from being able to give you grace. It actually pushes His grace out because you're saying, I can do this on my own strength. But you can't. And He resists the proud. That's pride. We have to allow Him to transform us and realize, but we have to believe who we are and see that and go to God and say, this is who you called me to be, God. know, Trent, make me that. Make me that. Grace is so powerful, but we have to see who we are. The golden people. See the gold in yourself. Don't be pointing out your nitpicking and pointing out your wrongs. I'm this, I'm that. Then you're believing it and you're always going to be that. You're always going to be that. Every time you see yourself in that eye, look at yourself in His eyes. Fine-tune your perspective so you see the way He does. It's so powerful. Like this, this is transforming. Gideon. Everybody knows of Gideon. He was a coward, they said. He was hiding from the Midianites, threshing wheat. He was afraid in hiding. The angel of the Lord appeared up and said, "You coward, get out and fight." Did he do that? He was hiding. He said, "Mighty man of valor." Gideon's hiding, afraid. And he said, "You mighty man of valor." He spoke into his gold. He spoke into his potential. God doesn't see the mess of you. He sees His ability to pull out that gold and transform you. Come on, this is crazy. God's not looking at you and saying, "You coward." Mighty men and women of valor, He says. But I'm afraid. I won't even talk to my coworker about Jesus. Mighty man of valor. And you believe that, next thing you know, you'll be living like that. Sometimes He may have to convince you a couple times before you actually get it. But keep going. Keep believing. Mighty women in valor. And then you will believe that. You will walk that out. You struggle with fear. You struggle with depression. God says you're free from depression. God says you're free from sin. Mighty man of valor. Mighty women of valor. That is your identity. I love how God works. Man, He's so amazing. Like, how do we ever live without Him? Like, I love how He works. Like, He takes what we can't be, what we can't do. I mean, it's just crazy. He's like the underdog. He loves the underdog. Thank God. I'm the 16 seed. I mean, that's the way I am. But in Him, you never lose. Like, I mean, it's amazing what He does to the ones that can't do it, that doesn't think they can. And He's like, "You mighty man of valor." He could have went to a great warrior, but then the warrior would have thought he did it all. See, that's the realizing that without Him, we can't. But in Him, and when we do it, He gets all the glory. Because 10 years ago, me standing up here, not going to happen. That's why He gets all the glory. 10 years ago, looking someone face to face and talking to them, the eye was hard. That's how, I mean, I took an F in English because we had to do an assignment where you stand in front of people and say maybe 5 minutes or something. Like, that's where I was. But God says, "You bold speaker." Come on. That's what He says. "You mighty man of God, you're going to speak my word. You're going to declare me. You're going to slay giants in the kingdom. You're going to destroy hell for a living." That's what He's speaking over every one of you guys. You're more than you think you are. And if you believe it, see, the enemy's afraid of you when you get born again, but he's really afraid of you when you realize who you are. Because when you realize who you are, then that gets scary for him. Because he knows who you are. He sees it. He knows what your potential is. So that's why he whispers lies so you'll never know it. He wants you to never see it in yourself. Never. Because once they do, I'm in trouble. Once they do, I'm in trouble. Because I know who they are, God knows who they are. We don't want them to. So I'll make them believe all this stuff, and they'll never be that. Even though it's always been there for them to have. God's standing there like, "It's here. It's here. All this truth is here. You just have to believe it." It's that simple, guys. It's so good, though. You are not what the enemy's speaking about you right now. If there's a lie that's been, think of that lie. Think of that lie. It's going to get cast down today. We're not going to live this way. I've been in that place. It's such a toil to believe something about yourself that's not true. And then you get in this works and dragging and trying your best to not be that, but you keep falling into that rut. Believe what he says about you. The 10 spies that was sent out with Joshua and Caleb. They went out, they said they seen the giants, and they come back and they reported, they said, "We saw giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their sights." If you see yourself as a grasshopper, you'll be a grasshopper. They seen the giant and seen how little they was in the neck compared to the giants. We were like grasshoppers. Fear. So they're never, if you think you're a grasshopper, you're never going to slay a giant. If David didn't know who he was and see who his God was and who his God was in him, he'd never killed Goliath. He would have seen him too mighty, too powerful. And the enemy will mock, just like Goliath did. He will mock your God, and he will mock you. But David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this man that's not in covenant with God? I'm in covenant with the living God. I killed the bear. I killed the lion. What is this?" You got to believe this about yourself. You have to see yourself in this truth. I love that song we sing, "We're the people of God." We're the people of God. The I Am. The beginning, the end. The Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega. I mean, why do we think so small of ourselves when God says, "I'm for you. I am for you"? Why do we see ourselves so small? He is so mighty. All that exists is here because He spoke. He spoke and He wanted to create you. He wanted you. He's not going to leave you. The Bible says He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. It may feel like He's not there, but He promises it. Truth will set you free. If you believe it, you'll live fearless. Because we're not afraid. That's what conquers fear, knowing that He's with us. Because if you could see what was walking around you, oh my gosh, you would never be afraid. If you could see what goes with you, before you, behind you, around you, you would not be afraid. You would never be afraid. You would walk. You would be like a rooster. You'd be going. You'd be cock-a-doodle. You would be confident, let me tell you. And God loves that. Like, I'm not confident in me. I'm just like, look who's with me. Like, I mean, come on. Like, what's the big deal? Like, Almighty God is with me. This truth is so good. If we see yourself, lies right now. I can see it. It's getting cut. But just don't go back out there and believe another one. Don't walk out these doors and just put back on them blinders so you're seeing yourself less than what He says about you. Don't go back out there and just let everything that was just said, just because the enemy will whisper it. As soon as you walk out this door, he will just minister the same lie that you just, he'll try to bring back what you just got rid of. I mean, we think that we leave here and then he will come. It's like he's not going to just let you walk out of here free and believing this about yourself because he knows he'll be in trouble. So I promise you, as soon as you leave that door, walk out them doors, you will have the lie ministered to you. Lies about who you are. Lies about who he is. Circumstances. Stuff coming at you. It's what he does. But it's what you choose to do when it comes. Why do we sell out so cheap? Like, if we was bought at such a high price, why do we sell out so cheap? You know, the enemy actually, if you believe his lies, you're actually giving a form of worship to him. Because you're honoring his word above God's. Don't leave and tell everybody I taught called you devil worshipers. But, I mean, it's true. Without realizing it, we are honoring the name of the enemy. We're believing his word. Oh, I'm worthless. God doesn't say that, but I still choose to believe you, Satan. You're actually giving him honor and glory without realizing it, and he loves it. Don't believe them lies. Believe the word of God. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to believe what he says about us. Renew the way we think. Your whole life you was born thinking apart from God. So we have to retrain our mind to think, well, we're with God now. There's two different things here. Your state and your standing. When you see yourself in your state, you will see yourself, you're seeing yourself apart from Christ. You're seeing yourself, well, my flaws, my mistakes, my shortcomings, my wrongdoings, my mess-ups, my slip-ups, my should-haves, my should-haves, could-haves. I didn't do, I should have done, I should be doing. That's the state you're seeing yourself in. But your standing is when you see yourself where you're at in Christ. You're standing with Him. This is so important. We can't see ourselves for the state we're in. We have to see ourselves standing in Him. I love this truth. I mean, it's so freeing. There's a song. It's so powerful the way it says. If I can find it here. Wonder how long if I be quiet, does it start getting weird? I'm free from that, thank God. just wonder if I come up here and just stand. How long will it take before somebody says something about it? I love Jesus. When he got up, was it in synagogues? He got up and opened the Word and just read one verse and sit down. And they was like so mad. Just so furious with Jesus. He just read up and said, I'm the anointed one. I'm the one come. And he sat down. And the Pharisees are like, who are you, blasphemer? I would probably, if I just say one word, Joe probably already kill me. I'm kidding. But it's good. I can't find that song. But I'll think of it and tell you guys later. But it's powerful, guys. You're standing in your state. And seeing us the way Jesus sees us is everything. It's everything. On that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. In Christ alone. So powerful. That one phrase, I just pray that all the time. God, thank you that your wrath was satisfied on your Son. So powerful. So he don't see me through my wrong. He ain't looking at me angry, frustrated. He's looking at me in Christ. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive us. So confession is good. I'm not saying that you act like you didn't sin. If you make a mistake, you run to God, because see, it's sincerity. It's sincere saying, God, I made that mistake. I sinned there. Confess your sins. But confession don't work if repentance don't follow. You can't confess but not repent. Repent, turn from, I'm sorry I did that, Father. Then turn from. Repentance, you have to turn from it. Then he's just and faithful to forgive you. If you confess that I did sin there, but it's not who I am. It's not who I am. Don't identify with it. Because then you identify with it, you'll reproduce it over and over and over. Separate yourself from it. I sin there, Father. Thank you that that's not who I am in Christ Jesus. Seeing yourself the way he sees you is so powerful. Joe, I'm going to ask if you would come on up. I want to end with this right here. And I'm just going to speak over us and who we are. And I just ask you, I said if you embrace a lie, if you embrace truth, lies are destroyed. Just open your hearts before we do altar call. But just open your hearts. We're not doing altar call. Don't close your eyes. Just listen. We are open your hearts to embrace this truth. This is what God says about you. This is just a short list of what God says about you. This is who you are. This is your standing. I said you're standing. This is who you're standing in Christ. You're a new creation. You're a people for his possession. You're a royal priesthood. You're alive to God. You're dead to sin. All grace abounds toward you. You're anointed. You're the apple of God's eye. You're baptized into one spirit. You're being perfected. You are the beloved. You are blameless. You are blessed. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. You have bold access to the throne of God. You're as bold as a lion. You are His bride. You can do all things in Christ. You're chosen. Christ indwells you with all His fullness. You're a co-heir with Christ. You're the favorites of His creation. You're curse-free. You're declared holy. You're a disciple. You're elect. Everything works out for your favor. You're a citizen of heaven. You're free from sin. He's freely given you all things. You're a friend of Christ. You're gifted. You're the dwelling place of God. You have the mind of Christ. He's for you, not against you. You're healed. You're hidden in Christ. You are His body. You are His child. You are a saint. You are a saint. You are inseparable from the love of God. You're a jewel in His eye. You're justified. The kingdom of God is within you. You're a king. You're a priest. You're a ruler. You're known by Him. You're the light of the world. You're made in His image. You're the people of God. You are seated with Christ. And you are absolutely worthy of the love of God. Come on. It's who you are in Jesus. It's who you are in Jesus. And picture this. Jesus looks on this cross. He sees the cross set before Him. He sees what He has to go through. He sees the turmoil, the pain, the separation from God. But He looks at you and says, you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. Believe that about yourself and be transformed. Believe that about yourself and walk as His bride. Walk as sons and daughters of God. Surrender to Him and His will. As we stand, Father, we embrace this truth. God, we don't just let it slip through our minds. We embrace it. Thank you, Father, for cutting the lies of the enemy, destroying the lies of the enemy, Father. Thank you that we're your children, that you care about us, that we're not just an obligation, that you love us, that we believe that, God, and we receive that, and we say yes. Humility receives. We receive what you say about us, and we glorify you because we couldn't be this without you. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. The altars are open for anybody who needs prayer, anybody who needs ministering.